we are this Lent, spending time immersing ourselves, pondering the meaning of the Sabbath. And so last week I preached about Shabbat, and I talked very specifically about my experience at CBST, which is the synagogue that I'm a member of. And it is our great honor and privilege and my utter delight to be able to welcome my dear friend and my rabbi, Rabbi Marisa James from CBST. Rabbi Marisa runs the social justice program at CBST, and just extraordinary. And we were just talking at dinner about how she does it all. When you need a rabbi, call Marisa James. She, whatever it is, she does it all. But she's just also just such a delight of a human being, and we are delighted to welcome you here to our invisible bima.
Thank you. I also have never been fed this well. I'm still sort of especially floating from the waffle naan, so like that moment of genius is going to, speaking of things getting hallowed. So back in the creation story, like zooming back to the beginning of Genesis, one of the first things we learn about humanity is that we are created in the divine image, that we are meant to somehow be in the image of God. But this is not explained to us, like, what does that actually mean? What does it mean to be in the image of God? And it's not until now, when we get into Exodus, when we get into the commandments, that this is sort of our first real understanding of, like, what are the practical implications of each of us being considered divine? So this one commandment, what does it mean to remember and keep holy a Sabbath day, a day of rest? Most of the laws that we're given are pretty clearly responding to the fact that as human beings, we have failures, we have failings. In our relationships with each other, we need some guidance when not to be jealous of each other and to act from jealousy, when not to steal from each other, when not to murder each other. You know, all the different things about business dealings, paying your employees on time is very, like, there are all these things that are delineated. This is a really different kind of commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So I think this is actually a gift that is meant to reinforce the idea that we are, in fact, made in a divine image. So not only are we being told that we are individually, personally divine enough to get a day of rest in the same way that God made a day of rest, right? God creates the entire universe, and after 6 days of work, gets a day off, and then God says, you know what, you do too. Oh, wow, we deserve the same thing that God deserves. That's a huge understanding of what it means to be in the divine image. But also there's this piece about, you shall not do any work. You, your son or daughter, and I say in the biblical linguistic world, when it's the this or the this, it also means everything in between. So son and daughter, first of all, your children, your grandchildren, but probably all of your relatives. Your male and female slave. There was slavery in the ancient world, but this really means anyone who worked for you. The literal translation, eved, can be a worker or a slave. Your cattle, the word literally means your beasts of burden. Any of the animals that help you in the process of work. Or the stranger who dwells literally within your gates. So basically it's saying anybody over whom you have any kind of authority, anyone over whom you have any kind of power or influence, you kind of get to play God a little bit only in that you have to remind them to rest, and you have to make sure that they have the capacity to take a day of rest. It also means that if you have people who have authority over you, that you can remind them that it's part of their job to give you the opportunity to have a day of rest and to make that possible. So there's this way in which we're being told that what does it mean to be created in the divine image? This law about Shabbat, this law about deserving rest, this law about taking a break from creative work, is that first understanding we have of what it means to be created divine. So about 100 years ago, the founder of my movement of Judaism, Reconstructionism, Rabbi Mordechai Kaplan, wrote something that I still really love, and when I always have to write it down because when I try to quote it, I embellish on it, and I basically give like an embellished version that wasn't his. So I'm actually going to quote him, which, you know, I think he'd forgive me, but maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, an artist cannot be continually wielding his brush. He must stop at times in his painting to freshen his vision of the object, the meaning of which he wishes to express on the canvas. Living is also an art. Living is also an art. So ideally, right, at the end of the 6 days of creation, ideally God kind of steps back, right? At the end of, my favorite part of the creation story is that at the end of each day, God steps back and says, oh, that's good. That thing I created, that was good. Ideally, we try to live our lives so that at the end of each day, we look at what we've done and we can say, okay, that was not terrible. You know, that was okay. That was all right, I'm going to try better tomorrow. But like, that was good. You want to be able to look back and say that. But that at the end of a week of the creative labor that each of us does in the world, that we can not only say, wow, that was good. That was something I wanted to help create in the world. Maybe that's a step closer to the world I want to see that I've helped smooth along. But to be also able to step back and look at what is the whole, not just the nitty gritty, right? The painter up close in the painting, like, well, that cyan isn't quite right. What do I do? But to step back and say, oh, but those hills are amazing, right? We're in our little lives, and I was multiple times stuck on the train today and going, ugh. And then what does it mean at the end of a week of those little moments that we get very focused on to step back from it and say, okay, but what's that broader vision that we're working towards? And in the same way that God, at the end of that first week of creation, God gets that day off. God creates that Sabbath of rest. But it doesn't mean that God has permanently stopped creation, right? Right, God kind of keeps going. There's more of a story there. And so, right, for me, one of the most profound moments of having Sabbath is not the coming into Sabbath and the preparing for a day of rest. And I have my own ways of defining that, and we all have our own ways of defining my question, what is the thing that makes you feel most like yourself? I feel like this should be one of the guiding questions for, like, how do you spend the time that you can define as your own? But at the end of the Sabbath, when you're re-entering, what's the new week going to look like? What's that new time going to look like? Have you refreshed your vision so that you can kind of launch back into what you know will be a little more of those nitty-gritty things, what you know will be a little more of those daily frustrations? Because that's what that day of rest is for. It's not an end, right? It's the beginning of the work we continually have to do to create the world, to create it, especially to create a world in which we understand that each one of us, that every single one of us, is divine. Moments in silent reflection. Then when you hear the bell, you're invited to share a story or experience that was sparked by the sermon or the text. We share stories rather than opinions or crosstalk, because Jesus told stories, and stories help us to know one another better. We begin in silence.